At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Minnesota Tim Podcast, and it's Wednesday morning, which means one thing, except for last week. But, I mean, I just want to defend ourselves a little bit here. Every single NFL team during the regular season gets a bye week. We do not take bye week, except for we did last week. We took a day off. It was Thanksgiving. It was a holiday week. We were preparing ourselves for the Vikings game on Thursday, and we took off last week. But every other Wednesday throughout the regular season, Wednesday mornings have meant one thing, and it's Jake's takes. And Jake, his take is back. Jake, thanks for bringing your take back.
Yeah, I mean, it's the bye week. Everyone needs it. You know, sometimes teammates start to get sick of each other a little bit. I could sense each week our tensions were rising. It was nice to go see the family, you know. It's the grinding schedule that we have. We don't get to see our family very often. So it was nice to spend Thanksgiving with our families for once and not have podcast-related duties to worry about. So, yeah, it was a perfect bye at the perfect time. Now I think we're ready for the home stretch. We're re-energized and ready to go.
Did you go anywhere during your bye week, or did you stay at home?
Oh, we just stayed at home. Yeah. I mean, we went to Waconia, you know, celebrate with some family, but we just stayed local. We thought about doing, you know, a week long trip to Florida, as a lot of other people on their bye week do, but we opted again. We're more casual, wanted to stay home. So,
yeah. We did the exact same thing. Has basketball season started for you?
It has. Yeah. Last Monday.
Okay. How's that looking?
Good. It's been fun. It's new. It's just getting used to how they do things and kind of fitting in a new role. But so kind of feeling that out as we go. But it's been fun. First game's tomorrow already. So
sure. All right. Well, that's exciting.
Been good.
Basketball season's a long season. So
it is. It's a grind. You start the week of Thanksgiving, and if you're playing playoff games, you go a couple weeks into March. So that's a long, long season.
Man. All right. Well, let's talk about what the people want us to talk about, shall we? So
favorite Thanksgiving food?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that. Favorite Thanksgiving food, and maybe most underrated Thanksgiving food. So, you know, you got the turkeys, you got the stuffs, the stuffing, maybe some mashed potatoes and some gravy and some corn. My mama had some meatballs as well and some party potatoes. Give us the best Thanksgiving food. And maybe the most underrated Thanksgiving food. And maybe they're the same one.
Yep. So I'll give you this. The overrated and the underrated. So, at least again for me, because everything I say is correct. No. So my favorite and the underrated is a good stuffing. I'm just kind of a bread guy in general. And I'll eat just like a stuffing that's like out of the box, which is, you know, not... Technically speaking, it's not the tastiest stuffing in the world, but I still eat that up. But when someone makes like a true like homemade stuffing with like they tear up the bread and they put all the seasoning in there and and you cover it with a little bit of gravy, like that stuffing is something that, again, I know it's just kind of fancy looking bread, but for whatever reason, that's like my favorite thing. I'll tell you what, I skipped this kind of Thanksgiving staple. I had two Thanksgiving meals and didn't have any of it either time. Mashed potatoes.
What?
I like they're the definition of fine. They are so
get that out of here.
Oh, we got a soundboard now.
We got a soundboard. Exactly. Was that on Riverside?
Was that NBA Jam?
It was NBA Jam.
See, I know my. Oh yeah. Yeah, I know that. So, do you want me to get that take out of here?
I do want you to get that take out of here. Mashed potatoes stink.
They do. They're just...
No. That was my most underrated.
When you make, like, a good set of mashed potatoes, that's one thing. But usually when it's Thanksgiving, it's kind of the mashed potatoes that have been sitting there for a while too, and they kind of coagulate and they just sit there in like the crock pot or the pot, and they're just kind of, I don't know, I just, they're not a lot going on to them. And yeah. You cover them with gravy. It's like, again, I'm not anti-mashed potatoes. Don't get me wrong.
It sounds like it. It sounds like you're anti-mashed potatoes.
I'm lower than the consensus on mashed potatoes. Maybe that's
okay. You know, try not to offend anybody on the Minnesota Tim
podcast. We don't want to have controversial takes. We need every listener we can get. We don't want my mashed potato takes to push listeners away.
That's fair, I guess. I mean, I love the mashed potatoes. I think that's the most underrated, and it might just be the best. To clarify, mashed potatoes that needs gravy. Mm-hmm. And what takes the mashed potato to the next level is if you have corn mixed in with the mashed potatoes. So you got corn on the side, you got mashed potatoes on the side, and then you blend them together on your plate, and it creates this crunchy mashed potato, which also tastes amazing at the same time.
So I think that is this a record? This is the first time we've ever disagreed, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
The monumentous occasion.
Yeah, as far as the best, it might just be mashed potatoes and gravy and corn. I don't know. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Know. Yeah. Well, the Minnesota Vikings are 9-2 after getting smothered by the Dallas Cowboys and defeating the New England Patriots on a short week, Thursday Night Football. They won that game 33-26, I believe. Your reaction to the throttling by the Cowboys and then the response by the Vikings to defeat Bill Belichick and the Patriots on national television with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, one of my college friends who doesn't really watch the Vikings at all, they're a Jets fan. So that we were talking about the upcoming game. He just asked, like, what happened against the Cowboys? And I didn't really know even how to answer because so much went wrong, and it was so unlike the Vikings in so many ways. It was hard to even, like, pinpoint, like, how it ballooned into a 40-point loss. Like, people have analyzed. Obviously, people talked more about the Cowboys, how they're a legit team, which they are. They're going to be a top, you know, 3 or 4 seed in the NFC. So, like, props to the Cowboys. They're going to be there in the playoffs. But I don't did you have a good explanation for what happened? Like how, I mean, again, losing to the Cowboys is one thing, but to explain how it got so bad, it was weird to watch. It just, everything was off, and maybe they just were, you know, drinking their own Kool-Aid too much and they just thought they could show up. I mean, but like effort wise, like it looked like they were trying. I don't know. It just was weird. I don't know.
Yeah. Everything went wrong that could have went wrong against the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that's how you pinpoint it. Kirk Cousins was off. And you could argue that Kirk Cousins was off because the offensive line was off. Yeah. The defense, I mean, Dak Prescott, Zeke, and Pollard were doing whatever they wanted against the Minnesota Vikings defense. Anytime they had a third down, it seemed like it was always 3rd and 1 or 3rd and 2.
True.
Which opened up their running game, which just ran all over us. I think the Vikings just got dominated everywhere. But thinking more about that game, I'd rather get blown out playing our worst game ever than playing our best game ever and losing by a touchdown. I think there's more to take away from it, more positive takeaways from just getting absolutely creamed and playing terribly than getting every single break. Kirk Cousins throws for 4 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. The defense plays good, and we still lose. Because then there's reasons for it, you know?
Yeah, and I think every same with the Eagles team, too, yeah.
I think every team in the NFL is given at least 1, maybe 2 at the most, just absolute drubbings. And this came after an emotional win over the Buffalo Bills, too.
Yeah, and obviously lots of people talked about, like, is it the kind of like the playoffs, 2017? When I always mix up what year that was, but, you know, they come off the emotional win against the Saints and then they get throttled by the Eagles. And no, is it because they were riding the emotion? So, like, I don't know. I don't really buy that much. Now, I do think teams or people can become overconfident, but I don't know that the Vikings beating the Bills had such an emotional high that they weren't ready to play the I don't know. I just kind of find that argument to be kind of something that people talk about, but that doesn't actually happen in real teams. Like I said, you might be overconfident. That's one thing. But that the whole, the emotional win, are they going to be able to come back and focus and play another game? Like, well, yeah, like, I don't know. It's an emotional win doesn't mean that you just are automatically going to win every game. And I don't think athletes are naive enough to go, oh, now we can just mess around with the Cowboys. We're going to easily walk over them, right? So I don't know. I don't really buy that argument. But
sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think it was a random game.
I think there's a little something to that argument. I don't think there's like 100% certainty to that argument, but I think playing an overtime game, being really high against the Buffalo Bills when they're down by 17 points, there's just a little something to that argument. I'm not 100% bought into it, like I said, but just a little something.
Well, right. It might be a tiny factor, but when people point to it as why you lost, right, it's not why you lost. It might just be one of the many reasons.
Yes.
Yeah, that I could at least buy. Yeah, I would buy that.
And then the Minnesota Vikings have a quick turnaround against the Patriots. Bill Belichick coming into U.S. Bank Stadium. Kirk Cousins on a national spotlight game. Oh, no. Belichick's second-ranked defense in the NFL versus Kirk Cousins. Vikings have no chance, and then they win 33-26. The offensive line shows up. Matthew Judon was really didn't make that much of an impact during that game. One of the best defensive ends in all of football. Your reaction to the quick turnaround win for the Vikings?
Well, it was. I mean, it was good. It was things kind of aligned again. I mean, without that kickoff return for touchdown, do we win the game? You know, I don't know, and that's obviously not something we can depend on. The one concern, or one of the couple concerns, but the main one is just how the defense has looked the last couple weeks. They made Mac Jones look like Dan Marino, or you know, Troy Aikman, or Patrick Mahomes, or Aaron Rodgers. Kevin Harlan. Mac Jones was just slinging it all over the place to wide open guys, and I mean, he hadn't done that in any single game all season long. So that obviously is a concern. Granted, I know we have Duke Shelley was one of our starting cornerbacks, but that still shouldn't be happening that aggressively. So that's a concern. But the offense looked pretty solid. Cousins handled the pressure. Cook got going well enough. Jefferson is unstoppable. So the offense is a well-oiled machine at this point. Just a matter of if we can clean up that defense. So it was a good win to watch. So it was an entertaining game back and forth. So
it was, a lot of scoring in that game, which I thought it was a big advantage. Now, maybe you would disagree or agree with this, but I thought it was a big advantage to play Bill Belichick on a short week. Sunday to Thursday isn't a whole lot of preparation time with the flight on the road at US Bank Stadium. I thought that was a huge advantage for Kirk Cousins. And he played one of his best football games of the year, throwing for 299 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception in that game. Another thing that you can't really count on that you mentioned, you talked about the kick return. Well, you got the 4th-and-3 running into the punter as well, which doesn't typically happen to Bill Belichick teams. Vikings get a first down, 5-yard penalty, march right down the field, and just happen to score the game-winning touchdown as well.
Yeah, you don't see that too often, especially when your punter's 250 pounds or whatever he is.
He's a flopper.
Well, they all are, but it looks exceptionally worse when like he's as big as some of the guys that are blitzing, or bigger, I should say. Because like usually the punter's 6'3", 170 pounds or whatever he is. And when they get even touched by somebody that's an NFL player, you're like, I probably would fall to the ground too if I was that guy.
So yes. They're but probably Ryan, taught to do that, I'm sure.
Yeah, but Ryan Wright is like a middle linebacker in a punter, or as a, as a punter here. And anybody, like the quarterbacks that run into him, like he's probably bigger than and stronger. Well, maybe not stronger than, but bigger than. So like, yeah, the fact that he falls over. Now, I will say, you have a guy, when you're, have your plant leg on the ground and your other leg's in the air, you're just, if anybody runs into that plant leg, you're asking for like an ACL injury or an MCL injury, or just like really bad things to happen because you're very, very vulnerable. So like I get why it's kind of like in basketball. If you shoot a 3-pointer and you start, or I guess any jump shot, and you land and you like your foot lands on another guy's foot and your ankle starts to go.
Yes.
Like you just plop to the ground to hopefully save your ankle from fully doing the full rollover and spraining your ankle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it right. doesn't mean that it actually sprained. It doesn't mean that you were trying to flop to draw a foul. It just means, oh, my ankle's starting to go. I'm going to fall down so it doesn't roll the whole way. So I think it's kind of the same thing with a punter. Like if I get touched, I'm just going to fall so that my plant leg, you know, doesn't have a torn ACL in it at the end of this thing. So, yeah, that was my punter's rant, I guess.
Yeah. Do you think Kirk Cousins is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL? So watching that game, I was just thinking, like, you know, against the Bills, he didn't have statistically his best game in the NFL, but he delivered when he needed to deliver, and it was against one of the better pass rushes in the NFL. The week before against the Washington Commanders, again, statistically it wasn't his best game ever, but he took hits every single play and just threw the ball where only his wide receivers and running back Dalvin Cook with the one-handed catch could get it. And when I compare Kirk Cousins against other situations around the NFL, like the Jets with Mike White, who are coming to town this week. I think about the Broncos with Russell Wilson. Think about even Aaron Rodgers with the Green Bay Packers in that situation where he's getting $150 million and he doesn't want to work with the wide receivers. What's your overall take on Kirk Cousins?
I mean, just looking at like just this year, because obviously like if you're thinking about like franchise, like you might want guys like you, Justin Fields, you'd want over Kirk Cousins. Now, Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback this season, but you know,
yes.
Fields is a better prospect, whatever. If we're looking at just like, we're trying to win a Super Bowl now, let's start listing quarterbacks and see where Kirk falls. He's probably close to 10. So off the top of my head, let's see. We have Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. I got to think through all my different quarterbacks. Russell, no, just kidding.
right?
Not Russell Wilson, not Aaron Rodgers anymore. Not even like, I think Justin Herbert, like Kirk Cousins has proven to be a better quarterback than Justin Herbert. Again, long-term, Justin Herbert should be way better, but
Kirk Cousins, a top five quarterback.
Is Kirk Cousins top five? I saw the comment from Mr. Milky on me. he's going top five, but I wasn't prepared for that. I should have written down my list. I got to think, I got to go through all the divisions.
I know. I'm thinking about it too. As
Dak Prescott probably is better just because he can run.
Yeah. Yep.
So Dak is better. Taylor Heineke. Matt Stafford. Part of it is that so many of the big names that, well, Heineke's not a big name, but a lot of the names that used to be in that conversation have fallen out of that conversation. I mean, like, Russell Wilson, Matt Stafford, and then the guys like that.
Burrow, I would take over Kirk Cousins.
Oh, yeah, Joe Burrow, I for sure take Lamar. We're up to six now. That's six that are better.
Derek Carr, probably not.
No, not Derek Carr, yeah.
Daniel Jones, no.
Nope.
Jared Goff, no.
No.
I mean, would you take Tom Brady over Kirk Cousins right now?
I mean, right now, you probably could argue yes, because I mean, Tom Brady's throwing for a lot of yards, but he's not performing the same way that he's been performing in the past. And part of that's the Bucs' issues. They have some issues. But, yeah, I'd probably take Kirk Cousins over Brady right now.
Would you take Kirk Cousins over Kyler Murray?
Yep, I probably would.
Yeah.
More consistent, which is kind of crazy to say. But he has really good ceiling games, and he has really bad dud games. You're looking at Kirk Cousins probably maybe 7, 8, or 9, depending on your flavor. I mean, we forgot to rank. I mean,
Tua
is probably higher. Ceiling's definitely higher. It's kind of like, you know, on Retro Bowl
Tecmo Super Bowl?
Tecmo Super Bowl, yeah. Retro Bowl's an app on a phone. fun game. It's a football. It's like basically a ripoff of Tecmo Bowl. It's kind of fun. Anyway. Tecmo Bowl, you know how it said Eagles QB for Cunningham?
Yes.
I would take Panthers QB above Kirk Cousins, whether it's P.J. Walker, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. Nah.
You would take them over Kirk Cousins?
Just take Panthers QB, the position, yeah. And that's,
oh, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe next year.
But yeah, so I mean, all that is to say, I think that shows two things. One, there's just a handful, really, like four or five guys that are like super elite that I would classify. And then there's that next tier. I would put like Tua. You could probably put Dak, Kirk, like the tier of like not elite, but pretty good. And then there's a big drop off. Like, there's a lot of bad quarterback play right now. There's a lot of teams looking. I mean, next year is like supposed to be the quarterback draft, a lot of quarterbacks. And on a side note, it'd be so annoying if the Packers have this one terrible season and stumble into another generational quarterback.
Stumble into Bryce Young from the Alabama.
Yeah, something ridiculous. But point is, there's a lot of, I would say, bad quarterback. I mean, Geno Smith's been performing well, but you wouldn't choose him. Yeah, like I said, Mike White, Jared Goff, Matt Stafford's been bad. The Panthers situation's terrible. The Texans have nobody. Davis Mills or Kyle Allen served this week, right? So, I mean, it's been, I mean, Saints, right? Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton. Marcus Mariota starts for the Falcons. I mean, there's like 10 teams-ish, give or take, that have quarterbacks that you don't want starting football games.
Right. Plus, it shows how much winning changes your perspective of a quarterback position. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see it on the Vikings sideline, in the Vikings locker room, from the national media, just the amount of respect that Kirk Cousins is getting this year because the Vikings have won games. Mm-hmm. All of these close games, if the Vikings are 500, we're probably thinking of Kirk Cousins as an outside the top 10 quarterback. We're like, oh, you know, Matthew Stafford, maybe, you know, he's probably up there. Could you really take him? He just won the Super Bowl last year. But now you look at Kirk Cousins. They're 9-2. He's delivering almost every single week. And, I mean, he's healthy, too. Every single game, I feel like he never misses games for not being a very big quarterback. It seems like he's never injured.
One, his stats were better last year. You know, he was more efficient. He threw less interceptions, things like that. But there's a different, right, the way that he's kind of slinging it around a little bit, taking more chances, giving Justin Jefferson more chances down the field, like, it's saving and making up for any mistakes that he is making versus last year. It seemed like one mistake would cost everything. And this year, they have an offense that can rebound after some mistakes that either the offense makes or the defense makes. So, yeah, that's part of it too, definitely. Like, winning, like you said, I mean, even Tom Brady, like, his stats are probably, I think, better than Kirk's. He has more yardage, and I don't know that he has more touchdowns, but either way, it's, if Tom Brady and the Bucs were 9-2, we'd be saying Tom Brady over Kirk Cousins still. So, I mean,
for sure,
you're right. Winning does solve a lot of problems and does persuade us to think about quarterbacks differently. But that's part of the game.
Yeah, that's part of the game. One more question before we get on to a new segment called Pass or Fail. Pass or Dumb Down Pass. I suppose it's good, go pass or incomplete. But Pass or Fail is the segment name. Maybe we can tweak it in the future if you have any other ideas. What chance would you give the Minnesota Vikings of getting to the Super Bowl this season?
Getting to the Super Bowl?
Basically, got to get by the Eagles and the Cowboys in the NFC to get to the Super Bowl.
And the 49ers, potentially.
And there's the 49ers, yeah.
Would you take Jimmy G over Kirk? Probably not.
I don't think so. It's pretty close, but I don't think so.
Jimmy G's kind of like a worse version of Kirk because they're both kind of game manager-y, a little bit more explosive than Jimmy G. Anyway, percentage, I don't know, maybe 15, 20, 15, 10, somewhere in there.
Sure.
To get to the Super Bowl, probably. Because, I mean, the odds that the Vikings catch the Eagles and be a one seed is not super high, given the Eagles' schedule. We would need them to lose two games. And then you're talking about the Vikings winning three straight playoff games. I would imagine the odds for any team to do that, right? It's kind of just playing the math of their seven teams. You got to win three straight games. They're against good teams. So the Vikings are probably one of the better options, or, you know, obviously besides the Eagles and maybe the Cowboys or 49ers, depending on how it shakes out. But yeah, 15, 20%, something like that.
Sure. Okay. That's good. I like that. Honestly, I asked that question so I could say, so you're telling me there's a chance from Dumb and Dumber? And I was playing the soundbite, and it, for whatever reason, it wouldn't play. So ended up coming. This is just a test right here. Okay. The soundboard isn't working anymore. Tough break. Okay,
It was a good run.
It was a good run. So this next segment is called Pass or Fail. I'm asking three separate questions, and if Jacob gets two out of the three, he passes. If he gets one out of the three or fewer, he fails. So this is going to be questions about Minnesota Vikings history. It's multiple choice. There are several different options to select from. And the right answer is in one of these options. So Question number one. Which quarterback has thrown for the most passing yards in one game in Vikings history? Do you think it is Joe Capp versus Baltimore in 1969? Do you think it is Tommy Kramer versus Washington in 1986? Randall Cunningham versus Green Bay in 1998? Or Dante Culpepper versus the New Orleans Saints in 2004?
Dante was the first name before you read any of the names that came to my head. And Randall would be the obvious, other obvious choice in terms of that was the year that they went off. I'm going to go with Dante, though. I feel like he slung it around and had some crazy games. So we'll go with Dante.
He was actually fourth on the list with 425 yards.
That's a pretty good game, though.
Yeah, that's a pretty good game. Randall Cunningham was third on the list with 442 yards. Joe Capp was second on the list with 449 yards. And Tommy Kramer was first on that list with 490 yards. Four touchdowns, one interception, 20 for 35.
You hit 20 completions for almost 500 yards.
I thought it was incredible. Only a 57% pass completion percentage and threw for almost 500 yards.
That's one just even, it's. I thought they used to only just run the ball back in the day.
I know, seriously. 1986, 490 yards, and Joe Capp is 1969, and he threw for almost 450 yards. It's crazy. Are you ready for question number two?
Okay, I got to go two for two.
Yeah. The wide receiver with most receiving yards in a single game. You got Sammy White versus the Detroit Lions in 1976. Randy Moss versus the Chicago Bears in 1999. Adam Thielen versus Green Bay in 2016. Or Sidney Rice versus Detroit in 2009. Where's your instinct taking you?
Well, I doubt it's Thielen. Sidney Rice, he had some good games, but I feel like to hold the record would just be crazy.
Let me know if you need me to repeat any of the
And then it was Sammy White or was Randy the other one?
Yep.
Sammy White didn't play when Tommy Kramer played, did he? Because that would make the way I feel.
Sammy, I think he did play while
a little bit. Maybe.
I mean, maybe a little bit, but no, Sammy White was in 1976. Wasn't the same game. Sammy White was in 1976, and Tommy Kramer was in 1986.
Thought maybe Sammy White had 20 catches for 490 yards and four touchdowns or something.
I can tell you this. One of these players had seven catches for 210 yards and two touchdowns, and the other player had 204 yards, and I didn't look up the rest of his stats because obviously that player didn't win.
I'm going to go with... That seems like... We'll go with Sammy White.
Oh, let's go! It's Sammy White. I love it, man. I was really rooting hard for you to pick Sammy White. I was going hard for you to pick Sammy White. And this is not
that was my first instinct because the other one, Randy Moss felt like the
too easy of
that's
an answer.
Too easy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like multiple choice. And it's like, what? Sammy White, why is this name here? You know, it's like almost like a weird name. Okay, the last question to go 2 out of 3 and pass. Which trio of Vikings players have the most touchdowns in a single game? Is it Randy Moss, Culpepper, and Chris Carter? So this isn't in the same game, but this is just throughout their careers. So, most touchdowns in a single game. Moss, Culpepper, and Chris Carter. Artos Pinner, Marcus Robinson, and Ontario Smith. Stephon Diggs, Matt Asiata, what a name that is, and Adrian Peterson. Or Cook, Dalvin Cook, Ahmad Rashad, and Chuck Foreman.
How am I supposed to discern from all these different names? I'm going to pick the third group with Matt Asiata because I feel like I remember there was one game where he had like four.
Yeah.
And then Peterson.
Are you sure that you want to select that one?
Are you asking me because it's wrong? I just liked Matt Asiata. Okay, fine. We'll get rid of group three. I don't even remember what the other group says because that was 12 names. We'll go. Well, so the first one was Culpepper, Moss, and Carter.
Yes. The second group was Artos Pinner, Marcus Robinson, and Ontario Smith. And the fourth group was Dalvin Cook, Ahmad Rashad, and Chuck Foreman.
Well, so this is my thought process here. So a single game, right? So you're saying, like, if Randy Moss had, like, four touchdowns in one game.
Yeah. I can tell you this. The winner had four touchdowns in a single game.
I feel like receivers did not get or don't get receiving touchdowns nearly as often as running backs get, you know, rushing touchdowns. Yeah. So I'm going to go group four then, because I don't really think Ontario Smith is probably part of the equation. Yeah. So Cook,
Ahmad Rashad, and the Inside Stuff. Remember that show?
Yep.
Yeah, he was the host.
And who was the third one?
Chuck Foreman.
Running back. Running back, too. So, yeah, I'm going to go with that group because I think Dalvin Cook did have, I mean, he might have had four rushing touchdowns in a game once.
It is that group. So, Cook, Ahmad Rashad, and Chuck Foreman had four touchdowns in a single game, and the other three groups each had three touchdowns in a single game. So, Jacob, you went 2 for 3. There's a little bit of an asterisk on the third final question, but hey, you got it right. I didn't tell you it was wrong. I just asked you if you're sure that you wanted to go with that one. It's like, who wants to be a millionaire? Are you sure you want to pick selection C?
Yeah. Well, and like I said, I was blinded by my Matt Asiata love.
Yeah.
Because I remember it was at TCF Bank Stadium. He went absolutely off one game, and yeah, must have had three rushing touchdowns. But yeah. Anyway,
it's hard not to pick Matt Asiata.
Yeah, it's not often you have the opportunity to pick Matt Asiata for anything. So it was fun to think about picking him, I guess, because I didn't pick him. But
he's like one of those guys, like Mark Mattson, just a memorable player, right?
Yep.
Mark Mattson, you got the Lou Fords of the world for the Minnesota Twins, Matt Asiata for the Minnesota Vikings, those kinds of players.
No, because he wasn't, I don't want to say he wasn't good, but like, it was him and kind of, was it McKinnon that kind of took over when Peterson was out?
I think so.
And they were actually like pretty serviceable as like a duo, where like McKinnon was kind of the quick back and Matt Asiata was kind of the power back. And it was like, they had a pretty functional running back room for having kind of two no-namers at the time. So
you're right. Yeah, they were pretty functional. But anywho, so that is pass or fail. If you're listening and you failed, better luck next time. It's like Stump the Schwab, if you ever watched that show. Jacob is the Schwab. Yep.
Yeah.
He is the sports-minded maniac, and he knows all. Jake, thank you again for joining the Minnesota Tim Podcast. I'm glad you had a good bye week. You felt refreshed. You look refreshed, and I'm glad we're back.
Who is your robe of the week?
Oh, my robe of the week. Robe of the week. Let's see. I'm trying to remember the Patriots game. I'm going to go with Ryan Wright for flopping. After the Patriots blitz on the blocked punt, and he gets destroyed by getting ticked by that Patriots defender. Automatic first down. Well, not automatic first down, but 5 yards and then the first down. And then Kirk Cousins finds Adam Thielen for the touchdown. So I'm wearing the robe. Ryan Wright is my robe of the week.
Okay. I'm going to go Kenny Wongwu. For having that awesome kick return. He's so fast, he makes fast people look not fast. So
yes,
it was fun to watch him fly down the field. So kind of changed the game. One thing
on that kick return, it was funny, I was commenting during the game, it was like, man, why does he keep on tanking out of the end zone when he's not even getting to the 25-yard line? To be honest, the kick return game hasn't been great so far this season. I can't really think of any where he got, you know, to the opponent's 50-yard line or 51-yard line or whatever. Yep. 51-yard line. The opponent's 49. 51.
Well, that's it. The 51-yard line is an elusive yard line to get to. So. Haven't seen anybody this year yet, so we're waiting. Man.
It'll be historic when that happens.
Will be historic, yeah.
All right, everyone, thanks for listening to the Minnesota Tim Podcast. Thanks for Jake for coming on the Minnesota Tim Podcast on a regular basis on Wednesday mornings. Everyone have a great week. Take care. We'll be back again next Wednesday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.